What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you are new, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation and I'm a former head of medical performance in professional football. I've been in the health and fitness industry for over a decade and I've been helping real people feel better and move smarter. So if you are sick of dodgy health advice online, you're at the right place because every week I help you cut through the chaos, confusion of the internet and absolute nonsense, bringing you clarity, evidence and a whole lot of energy. I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends, bust myths and guide you towards real, lasting results the healthy way. Coming up on today's show, I'll be joined by Danny Ray, the world Hyrox champion, to speak about his recent win in Chicago and training behind his success. But up first, this week we are joined by Victoria Emily, who is a professional bikini model, founder of the Slay Collection and Slay Cosmetics UK, and a world champion bikini pro under the FMG bikini competition. Victoria, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. How's your morning been?
Yeah, good. Actually quite calm today because I'm on a rest day. Usually, first thing, I'd be up super early, getting ready and going straight to the gym and then rushing back for work. So it's actually been really nice and chill today.
Busy, busy. Right, let's jump straight into the questions. So what inspired you to pursue a career in bikini competitions and how did you become affiliated with the FMG?
So I first got into the gym when I was 18 and I first started because I actually suffered with eating disorders when I was a teenager. So I went to try and bulk up a bit and to kind of fix my mindset around that. And then I first done my first show when I was 20 and it was awful. I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah, it was not good. So it kind of put me off a little bit to start with, but still carried on in the gym, like fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And then after I had my two kids, I thought, I just kind of got that itch and I was like, oh, let's just do one more. Did a show, won my first ever pro card.
Amazing.
Thought, oh, I'm actually quite good at this. Kept going, kept racking up a couple of other pro cards. Okay. And then COVID hit. So again, took some time off. And then in 2023, I think it was, started to compete again and won another pro status. And it was at that point where I just got to a point in life where I was like, there's a reason I keep coming back to this. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I'm kind of good at it. So yeah, Let's just kind of see where we go with it. And then, yeah, last year I did my first show with FMG, which is probably the biggest federation in the world. It's like where the best of the best compete.
Okay.
And I'd come off the back of a winning streak with all my other federations. So I actually came fourth in that federation, which definitely took a bit of a moment.
Yeah.
But I feel like those moments I could have either been like, oh, that's it, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm going to hang up, or get your feedback and get to work and come back fighting. So that's what I decided to do. And then at the beginning of this year, I competed in Italy, which is where I went, and it was a real like personal comeback. And yeah, won my pro status. And now getting ready for my pro debut in London.
Amazing. Well, that's a great story. So thank you so much for that. And a big, big journey. So if you don't mind, talk to us about the whole younger ages of the eating disorder. What did you originally struggle with, if you're comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, no, that's fine. So I always wanted to get into modelling and I just ended up getting this really warped image of myself where I think the industry now is so much better because they're not putting out this image of you need to be stick thin like it was when I was younger. Like when I was younger, the models were all just anorexic, basically. It was a really unhealthy image that the media was putting out and I just became obsessed with it. So it was actually one of the modelling agencies I was working with that brought me in and they kind of highlighted the issue, which was amazing from them.
Yeah.
Actually say to me like, look, we're actually concerned about you, we think you're quite poorly. And then yeah, it was, I realized that and kind of woke up to it and was like, I don't want to be like this anymore, I don't want to not like myself anymore, kind of thing. So
yeah,
it was a real like self-love journey.
Okay, well, I mean, that leads me on to my next question. With your journey in fitness, you know, and how it kind of evolved, when you first started, was it stemmed from the eating disorder and then you started training and finding a love and passion and seeing the improvements in your physique or your mindset, your lifestyle? What kind of was the journey and how did it kind of evolve?
Yeah, all of it, really. So I just instantly found a love of it. I've got ADHD, so I tend to hyper-focus on things. So the gym was that for me. And it was kind of like my space where I could just switch off from the world for like an hour a day. It flipped my mindset completely, because a lot of people see the gym as like a chore, and it's the complete opposite. It's like, that's the time you're putting energy into yourself and actually looking after yourself and loving yourself. And that was really, really powerful for me.
Nice. And what does a weekly training routine look like for you in season versus off season?
So at the minute I'm on prep. So I'm training 5 days a week, and it's not until I kind of hit like four or five weeks out that I'll kind of really up the ante and I'll be doing cardio every day. But at the minute it's just 20 minutes of cardio a day, like 10,000 steps. And then my main focus is like my lower body. So I'll do an upper body session, a glute session, hamstrings, quads, and then like a conditioning session, which is kind of more ab focused. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I'll gradually increase my cardio. And then my training structure will slightly change the closer I get to the show. Like, so I'm still where I was at peak condition only a few weeks ago for Italy. Mm-hmm. Rather than trying to maintain that, I had a few weeks where I could kind of improve slightly. Obviously, you can't do too much in such a short period of time. No, of course. I did like a mini build ready to then cut back down, where I'll then start to increase my cardio and things back up.
Would you say that period between two close competitions is quite... Would you say that's harder? Because obviously you've got to stay in a fairly decent condition and you can't take your... hand off the well, you can't pull the handbrake on or completely pull it off. So yeah. Would you say that's the hardest period, or would you say the kind of few weeks just before is harder?
I would say it fully comes down to your mindset, to be completely honest. Okay. I think the hardest part is actually coming out of your bulk season, because it's like when you're bulking, you can go out with your friends, you can do things, and it's
more socializing, it's like,
yeah, and it's that transition where all of a sudden the snacks have got to stop, the sugar cravings start to come in, you can't socialise, so you almost start to get a bit of FOMO. But like energy-wise and things, 3-4 weeks out, that's when it really starts to take its toll of like the lower calories, the increased cardio. Like, you do just get really drained, and that's where you kind of have to just dig deep.
Yeah, so I've heard of a terminology, so some of the listeners might know of this or whatnot, but prep brain, is that a thing? Is that when your fats are so low that you can't focus? Because obviously fats are really important in hormone regulation and brain function. So is that quite a big thing as well?
Yeah, prep brain is huge, and it is awful. I personally find I walk into things, I forget everything. Your brain just really stops functioning. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, okay. And how would you structure your diet during prep compared to off-season? So I know you said there's a little bit more freedom with socializing. You can see your friends in off-season. You might have... I don't know if you drink alcohol, but you might have alcohol, you might go out for more dinners and so on. I'm assuming that is your off season compared to on prep. How would it look for the listeners? You know, they might be thinking, oh, this is really interesting. Do you just eat from Tupperware, or do you cook your meals fresh? Do you meal prep? What do you normally do?
Depends what I'm doing. So my life is pretty chaotic with all the different businesses and things, but most of the time I'm working from home. So I do prefer to make my meals as I go throughout the day. But if I'm traveling a lot for like photo shoots or other client shows and things like that, I'll prep all my meals the night before, so I'm ready just to rock and roll. Because I've had moments where I've thought, oh no, it'll be okay, like I'll be able to grab something, like years ago.
Yeah.
you cannot grab healthy food on the go. Like, it is not a thing. So that saying of fail to prepare is it's a real thing.
No, and I get that. And you can obviously understand why people, when they grab and go, they, you know, it's not about people's physiques, right? People want to look and feel a certain way. And obviously what you do is a passion and a hobby and something that you're extremely talented at. So it's very different to everyday people who are grabbing and going. But I would agree that there are so many limited options when you are out and about that you can really grab that is going to potentially be nutritionally dense and also palatable. You know, it's quite hard to get the both, right?
Oh, yeah, it's actually a nightmare. Like, I've even spoken to friends, like, there's a niche in the market. There's got to be something we can do to fix this problem because, yeah, it's so hard to be out and about on the road and find healthy options that aren't extortionate or even if they say they're healthy and they really promote like all protein, they're still full of crap basically.
Well, I mean, this is going to be a good one for the listeners. Anyone who shops high protein foods from the supermarket, go and look at the non-advertised high protein equivalent, and 9 times out of 10 we're looking at 1, maybe 2 grams less, but you're paying double the price, and it's just marketing. It's very clever.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you follow a specific meal timing or macronutrient strategy when it comes to optimal results? Obviously, macros are super important, and your calories are super important when you're on prep, but do you look at timings as well? Are you a big believer of timing of food?
Timings, not so much. For me, it's all about just fitting it into my day. So the main ones that I do tend to time are the ones around my training. So yeah. I'll usually try and get my pre-workout meal like an hour before I train and post-workout as soon as I can after I've trained. So I always have like, I've got an actual fridge in my car where I've got like bottles of protein shakes and I've got like squares, bars and things. So because I'm always in a rush, I'll literally finish my session in the car on the way home, protein shake and a squares bar.
Great. And right, supplements. Are there any supplements for performance, recovery or overall health that you are a big fan of?
Yes. So probably my top one would be creatine. I feel like everybody should be taking creatine. Other big ones for me that I take are magnesium, zinc, calcium, vitamin D, vitamin C and iron, because equally I'm not the biggest fan of veggies, and especially when I'm on prep, you're not necessarily getting all the nutrients and things that you need, so you do just have to supplement them.
Okay. And how do you stay motivated and mentally focused during long prep phases? You know, what are you like on tough days? Are you just a get up and go kind of individual and just you've got to do it? Or are you someone that has to really motivate themselves? Or is it just discipline? Is it?
Yeah, it just really comes down to discipline and how bad you want it. So for me, the fitness industry and competing, like, it is my life. If I'm doing a show, I'm doing it to win. So I always weigh up the options. Say I'm having a day where I'm craving really bad food, I've got no energy and I don't want to go to the gym. I'll just think to myself, right, well, if I don't go to the gym, am I going to hit my goal? Probably not. If I go and eat a load of rubbish, am I going to hit my goal? No, probably not. So should I do that? No, it's not a good idea. Yeah. So it is one of those where it's like, it doesn't, your motivation is not always there. I get a lot of people say to me like, oh, how are you so motivated all the time? And the truth is that I'm not, but my goal is bigger than the feeling I have in that moment.
Yeah. No, exactly. And the goal outweighs the urge, right? You know, you wouldn't have come back after being forced to win your bikini, you know, competition in Italy, right? If you had had a day off or 2 days off, you know. Yeah. Are there any myths about bikini competitors or fitness modelling that you wish more people understood?
You know, the biggest one that really gets me, and I think this is why I'm kind of building my brand the way I am, is that lifting weights makes you look manly. That is the one.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
The most, which is why I feel like I'm that super girly girl that I go to the gym with my makeup on and my nails done and my hair done, because not to prove anything, but just because you can still be into girly things train really, really hard and lift really heavy weights and things like that. Another one would be that we don't eat, that we starve ourselves. I get that a lot where people be like, oh, just eat a burger or something. And I'm like, okay. I'm probably eating a hell of a lot more than what you are.
Yeah, you're probably. I mean, the amount of people that I talk to and meet, and they're only on about 1,200 calories, and that's everyone's magic number. I'm just like, wow, how do you function? How do you survive? So, right. Let's talk about the Slay Collective. So what inspired you for this? And can you tell the listeners a little bit about one of your many businesses?
Okay, so the Slay Collective started just because I didn't like other gym brands' clothing. I would find the cuts weren't that feminine. I didn't feel great in them. I'd always kind of end up like covering up with like a baggy hoodie or a baggy t-shirt, and I don't know, it just didn't make me feel nice about myself. And I was like, right, I'm building a really building a body that I'm proud of, and I kind of want my clothing to show off the silhouettes that I'm building. So yeah, it just started for fun, just for me. And then when other people started to see it, they were like, oh wow, where's that from? And then it just kind of built from there, where I was like, I'm actually doing something here. So okay. The main focus with it is the shapes and the silhouettes to keep women looking feminine and feeling girly whilst they're in the gym.
Yeah, and obviously, like, as both of us are gym goers and gym users, I can tell you one thing for free. When I buy new gym clothes, I'm hitting PBs. I'm feeling myself. I look good. I'm like, yeah, I love this. So I can already picture how it was at the start when you were like trying it, and obviously people are coming over and complimenting you, and you're like, oh, this can actually be a thing. So how are you progressing with it all? So you started, obviously people started talking to you about your brand, and obviously they didn't know it was a thing, and then you've made it a thing. And then where's it going at the moment? Where is it at? Are you, you know, looking to you know, progress out, grow the brand? What's the plan?
Yeah, so I've now got a team of affiliates. So through like the fitness industry and the bodybuilding world, I had a really decent following already. So when people started to jump on board with it, I was like, right, I actually want to build like a community with this, like of strong women that are supporting each other and empowering each other. So that's when I decided to start the affiliate program. And also, where I still had all the other things going on, it was like they were promoting it for me. They were shouting about the brand from the rooftops, and it's just been amazing since. So I'm actually looking to grow that still. The big goal is I want to take over the women's fitness gym wear industry, and I do want to branch out into shops, eventually have like my own shops and things like that, where I just really want to build this like kind of global female empowerment movement through the clothing. And it is that thing, like you said, of when you look good, you feel good, and then you're more likely to empower others because you feel so good in yourself.
Also means that you want to go and train, and sometimes when we don't feel like we want to train because motivation isn't always there and it's only down to discipline sometimes, and you're like, oh, I've got that new set I can go and put on, and you go in and then you have a great session, you're like, ah, what was I worrying about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get a lot of girls, a lot of other fitness models who are doing like photo shoots and things. They'll order outfits specifically just for the photo shoots. Oh, and then they're like, oh my God, I felt amazing in that.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean, it sounds like you've really created something that people are enjoying, wanting, and it's, you know, it's going to keep growing. You also do posing. So you're a posing coach as well.
Yes.
Tell us about this. Is this from your experience as an athlete on the stage?
Yeah. So I used to, when I was younger, I was into dancing, and I feel like when I would step on stage, it's really funny because originally my brand was just the Slay, like Slay Cosmetics. And I would,
which is your aesthetics and beauty, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the posing used to be quite stiff. And I got a posing coach who's incredible, and he kind of started this different type of posing where you had a little bit more flair. And I don't know, when I step on stage, I just come alive. It's like It's like Beyonce comes out and the hair's flicking and we're spinning and twirling. And that wasn't really like much of a thing. Mm. And then I just kind of fell into it. I started having people messaging me saying, oh my God, I want to be like you on stage. How are you so confident? I want to pose like you. So then I would just kind of give like a few tips and things. And then, yeah, just the more shows I did and the more shows I won, the more people that would approach me for it. And I actually work with the current, I think she's now the 6-time FMG Bikini Pro.
Oh, wow.
She's from Australia. She's a posing coach and I work under her brand now. So I'm the UK posing coach for her.
That's amazing. Yeah, literally just from, I say just from the start of this conversation to where we are now, I can really see like the trajectory and how you've kind of left your footprint and your mark. And that's also what you want to do. I've noticed that. And that's really, really great. And you're progressing really nicely. What advice would you give an aspiring bikini athlete looking to go pro or even just start as well? So give us both. Yeah. Someone who's looking to start and then looking to go pro.
I would say somebody who's looking to start, be prepared for it to absolutely take your soul. I think a lot of people go into it thinking, oh, yeah, I could do that. And then they get hit by a bus when they're like, oh, wow, I'm really hungry. I'm really tired. I'm really sore. Buckle up, you're going to be. And if you, I always say for people doing their first show, go into it for the experience because you're going to be on stage with people who have competed multiple times, but they've just not quite got that win and they've gone away, worked on what they needed to work for, and they're coming back with a vengeance. So a lot of girls go into their first show and get really upset when they don't place as well as they expect because, of course, your friends and families are going to say, oh my God, you're going to be amazing, you're going to win. And that can really get into people's heads. And then I would say, once you've done your first show, then that's when you make your comeback and that's when you're looking to win. And the difference between an amateur and a pro is you need to embody the lifestyle. You can't just do it kind of on a whim. You need to have a real structured build phase and then come into like a cut phase. You need to really invest in your posing, your bikini, your whole look. You need to just become that person, have that pro mindset, because when you, the second you are stepping on a stage against people that are going in it to win it and going into a pro stage, it's a different ball game because you're on that stage against the best of the best who eat, sleep and breathe this lifestyle.
And final question, would you recommend that you get a coach when you're competing, or do you think people can do well without coaches? Because most coaches have coaches themselves.
Yeah, so I actually coach myself now, but I've had a few different coaches where I've learned so many different things. And with competing, there is so much science involved in it, and if you're not mentally strong enough to deal with the lows, and like when prep brain kicks in, you don't know what you look like and you start thinking, oh, I'm too lean, I'm not lean enough, and then you can make changes which you maybe shouldn't. So I would highly recommend people get a coach, or at least work with a few different ones before they make the decision to coach themselves. Like for me, I now know how my body works like clockwork. I know exactly like my peak week strategy. I've got it down to a T. I know exactly what I need to do, what day I need to take fats out, what day I need to take carbs out.
Okay.
Sodium level, salts, I know exactly to prime my body to the best it can be, but I wouldn't have known that without using a few different coaches who have different styles and techniques of doing things.
I mean, it's been amazing, it's been very insightful. Victoria, thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you? Give us your socials, your website for your brands, give it all.
Okay, so you can find me on my Instagram, which is @_Victoria_Emily_. But my clothing's website is www.theslaycollective.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck in the competitions coming up, and I will speak to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by world Hyrox champion Danny Ray.
FUPA Radio. Couple goals. with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When I've met people in the past, I'm like, oh yeah, I really love him, he's the one. But I just knew they weren't. I'd say it, but I knew I didn't mean it. But when I met you, there was a different feeling. Like, it's like your gut just tells you. When people used to say, when you know, I was like, oh, piss off. But when you know, you know.
When I met you and times got hard, I would come up with a strategy to make it better.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
So we've got Dr. Matt Morgan. Someone's heart stopped beating for 8 hours.
So he was stuck on a ledge in a freezing snowstorm, and his heart stopped for an amazing 9 hours. He's still the world's longest surviving cardiac arrest patient, and he lived because he was cold. You know, there's a saying: you're not dead until you're warm and dead.
The Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and yeah, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Coming up now, we have Danny Ray. Danny is a British Army physical trainer and current UK Pro Hyrox champion who holds the national records in both individual and doubles events. He has won the Hyrox Pro Doubles World Championship ages 16 to 29 in Chicago with his partner, Liam McCory. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. Clocking an absolutely incredible time of 50 minutes and 35 seconds, securing the world title just 2 weeks ago. Danny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. That was some introduction. And thank you very much for having me on.
No worries. Thank you so much for joining us. Right, let's dive straight into this, shall we? So, what does a typical training week look like for you during a Hyrox season, and is there a Hyrox season? Is it like a, you know, normal sporting season?
Yeah, no, you're right. There is a Hyrox season, so to speak. But with that said, there are events all over the world in multiple different locations, and noting that we've just done the World Champs just over a week ago, there is another event probably in the next couple of weeks somewhere. I think Abu Dhabi's in July 19th. So the season kickstarts pretty quickly. As for the UK events, they start around October. So the UK season is a little bit shorter, but in terms of like the Hyrox worldwide season, it's pretty stacked. In terms of a typical training week, for me, that's a little bit difficult only because my job, actual racing itself, there used to be a time where I'd have a training split where I know exactly what I'm going to be doing on a different day of the week. But at the minute, it's kind of all over the place. In an ideal world where I've got no distractions, a typical training week would look like a nice mixture of running and strength training, with a little dabble of Hyrox chucked on the top once or twice a week.
Okay, nice. And how much running would you say you probably clock up in a week? Because, you know, it's with Hyrox, obviously, for the listeners, it is a complete mix of running and obviously exercises with multiple reps, isn't it? So it's like there's an element of strength, and but there's also a huge emphasis on cardiovascular fitness, right?
Yeah, 100%. And at the minute, it's definitely becoming like, say, more of a runner's game. It's always been a runner's game, but the stronger runners are starting to come through now that they're learning the specific movements, like you've mentioned there, with the strength stuff. But in terms of like weekly mileage, I would say 50 to 80 is kind of the sweet spot, depending on what sort of level you're competing at.
Okay.
But I'd say as a minimum around 50 for me.
Okay, and that's K, correct?
Kilometers, yeah, not miles, apologies. Yeah.
No, that's fine. Just double checking. Okay, nice. And how do you structure your nutrition to support both kind of endurance and strength training? Because they are both so different. But again, I kind of feel that you can nutritionally stack up on both quite easily, if you get what I mean. But obviously, how do you stack it and how do you structure all of that?
Yeah, so I think it's, in terms of like the macros, it's probably similar to any training split, although that carbs are absolute king when it comes to endurance, as you know. But I think it's timing. Timing is the key thing. So pre-session, depending on how intense it's going to be, the amount of carbs that I'm going to have, and then if I'm going to be doing a double training day, then it's getting that carbs and protein, you know, within the sort of first 30 minutes to set me up for success for that second session.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say probably carbohydrates first and then protein and then fats for a Hyrox training split.
Okay, nice. And would you have a pre, intra and post shake, for example? Or would you do, obviously, if you've got a double training day, you might do an intra where obviously it's quite a carby drink to keep you going and help you for later, or would you not?
Yeah, so I'll give yesterday as an example. In terms of pre, intra, post, I would have something called Electrofuel. I don't know if I can name brands on the radio, but I use Electrofuel from MyProtein. Yeah. It's got a mixture of electrolytes and carbohydrates, nice. Carbohydrates being fast release. So it doesn't sit too heavy on my stomach, and that's what I have pre-session. During the session, I'll then have just electrolytes in my water because I sweat quite a lot. I'm quite a salty sweater. And then post, I use, again, it's my protein. It's called Recovery, but that has got carbs and protein. So
nice.
The carbs and protein is what's going to set me up for success for that second session. Yesterday, I went from a strength session. A few hours later, went into intervals. So that's how I break that down.
Yeah, okay, nice stuff. And with your recovery strategies, you know, what are your key recovery strategies to keep you injury free? Do you do much research on kind of like the latest things, like compression garments aid recovery by like 10% and all these things? Are you a big fan in kind of doing your homework on things like that?
I'm all ears for new stuff like that, but personally what I found like
works for you.
Yeah, personally, what I find work for me, and you'll probably hear this as a reoccurring theme from a lot of athletes, is like sleep. I think people underestimate the importance of sleep. Like I know for a fact, if I've done a hard session and then I've got 6 or 7 hours sleep that night, the next day I just don't feel as ready to train. You know, and I can have all the compression garments and electrolytes and you know protein supplements in the world, if I'm not getting the right sleep, that's where I am, where I fall foul.
Okay, so for you, your main thing is sleep. It's none of the, it's not, they're not fads and gimmicks, are they? Because they're clinically proven and scientifically proven, but sleep is king.
Sleep is absolute key as a priority, and then supplementing that further with your like I have got compression boots.
Okay.
I do get sports massage. I do PNF stretching and all this sort of stuff. But nice. Sleep is the A game for me, and then everything else after.
Okay, amazing. And how do you find, or how did you first discover Hyrox? So obviously you've got a military background, correct?
Yes. So yeah. my wife actually was talking to me about it for quite a while. She had a friend who was competing at the World Champs back in 2023. And to be honest, I was kind of just a bit more like, yeah, sounds good, but not overly. My ears weren't overly sort of spiked to it. It was only when I actually went to go and spectate and watch it that I got massive FOMO. I was standing in the venue thinking, this is unreal. You know, music's blaring. Everyone's just loving life. It's got that good mixture of functional station work with the running. It was a completely new concept to me at the time. I think years of being in the military, I looked at it and thought, this is exactly how we train day to day, you know, on the shop floor when we're doing our squadron level training. It looks just like this, you know, running and acting and in a station. So, yeah, that's where it started.
Yeah, and I can see that, because obviously, you know, military individuals are so cardiovascularly strong, but also endurant as well. Like, they have such strength, they have such endurance levels. So when you say that, I can already picture it, and you're kind of just sat there and you're just like, yeah, I think I could do well at this.
Yeah, it's like we do lots of things where we make ourselves tired and out of breath and then pick things up and then we throw them and then we drag them or we pull them. Yeah. So there was such good carryover.
Yeah. And what made you want to kind of compete at a pro level?
The first time I ever done a Hyrox as a solo, I got a 103, but it's just, I think it's one of those things where I knew that there was definite potential there. I knew that I had a good base of running and I knew that I was quite functional. I just needed to put it all together and actually train properly for it. It's the only sport that's actually made me want to train for something. Okay. And I spent a lot of months doing that and then inadvertently just ended up, you know, getting some good times and that reinforced the potential, and then I kept training more and more, and the next thing you know, we've climbed the ladder slightly, but plenty more work to go.
Nice. And what would you say the biggest challenges are when starting Hyrox? Because I've said this before, I feel like it's more inclusive than, for example, CrossFit, because obviously there's a higher skill level with CrossFit, you know, and then there's a higher risk of injury, whereas Hyrox I feel like is more welcoming of all standards.
So the Hyrox, they say that, you know, the holistic movements which are low skill and everyone can do, you know, very little training required to be able to push a sled or do a warble.
Yes.
And I think that's what I think you're completely right. You know, there's so many amazing sports out there. CrossFit is an incredible sport. Mm-hmm. Hyrox is equally as incredible. But like you say, it appeals to the masses because, you know, my wife has done it with her mum and dad who are in their 50s. I've done it with my dad, and you know, he just needed a week to brush up on some technique, and next thing you know, we're doing a Hyrox together. So I think that's why it's so good. Like you say, low skill, but also the event itself in terms of like the atmosphere and
fun.
It's very much a spectator sport. I don't know if there's any other examples of that where you can get just your average Joe feel like they've got 100 people watching them do burpees, but actually they're all just watching their friends and family, but it creates such a buzz and such an environment.
No, and I totally agree. And I've been to, I live near Farnborough, and they've got the airport there, and there's a couple of hangars, and they do competitions there all the time. So CrossFit and Hyrox and stuff. So I've been and watched, and it's a great buzz. Like, it is a really, really good, enjoyable kind of buzz. How do you stay mentally focused during tough races or particular training blocks?
Oh, tough races. Wow. I've been in a few of those. I think for having lots of race experience, you come to realize that it's okay to have like a bad day. And that's how I stay sort of mentally engaged. It's like you get to a situation where it's not going as well as what you think it should be going, but you've been there before and you've experienced it, and you know, you're going to learn more from that coming out the other side. And that's how I stay engaged.
Okay. Nice. What would you say your most memorable Hyrox moment is so far? Is it the recent one 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that was incredible. The doubles with Liam, every sort of second of that hurt. But I think on a personal level, I would say 2 weeks before that in Cardiff, I raced pro and I was very, very low on confidence. But that race put me right back up there. I placed first in the pro division, but also ran the fastest time as an individual athlete on the of the whole weekend for a UK event. So that was sort of my my proudest moment.
That's amazing. And do you find a lot of, obviously in the pro standard, it's a lot of the same faces week in, week out, or is it, are you always seeing new faces? Like, what's it like? How can you step up to the pro level, for example? Like, can people just come in and out and they're not good enough, so they leave, or, you know?
So the rankings, especially for the elites, it's on your two fastest pro times. Now, with the sport growing at an astronomical rate, there is a top 30 with their two fastest pro times. I'm in that top 30, but I know there's people outside of the top 30 that are faster than me that just don't have those two fast times yet. And once they get that second fast time, they'll be bumped straight up. But yeah, as the sport's growing, there'll be some dark horses out there that, that people aren't familiar with. But as a sort of a general consensus, there's a lot of people that, you know, you go to an event and you see all the familiar faces. But yeah, I think this is the season where we're going to see a lot more new faces enter the sort of roster, if you like.
Nice. That's, I mean, I think that keeps it exciting, doesn't it? And it's like, you know, it always keeps you on your toes. How do you balance training with your social life and other commitments? Because obviously you said work is super busy as well, so.
Yes. So I'm currently in what we're calling the off season at the minute. So social commitments is on the up, and training is on the down ever so slightly. But in the lead up to, say, the World Champs, I think it was just saying no to a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, a bit of sacrifice, not heaps of it, because I like to have a social life, but there is an element of that. In regards to work, in my job, I'm in a job in the military where I'm teaching, tactics. We do that 3 to 4 times a month, a year, sorry. But when we are doing that, it's very, very full on. So in the interim between courses, that's where I get my time to train. But when I'm actually delivering courses, it is, you know, very much knees to chest and squeezing in sessions wherever we can.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And when you're in your off season, do you find that you're less likely to burn out? Because obviously some people, when they deload, they're still like physically and mentally burnt out, so they struggle to kind of manage it and get back up to where they were. Do you find that, you know, this helps you manage your burnout and your fatigue when it creeps in?
Yeah, I think from a physical standpoint, the off season for me is like, I can still train because I've not had these crazy consistent blocks of like 8 to 12 weeks of being able to train properly every day. It's more of like a mental stimulus, like, you know, eating things that I like to eat and doing different activities that I don't normally get to do, like triathlon or going for a hike. That's for me where I focus my off season.
Okay, nice. And okay, final few questions. Okay, what advice would you give someone doing their first Hyrox?
I would say, as a first thing, I'd be like, well done for getting a ticket.
There is that.
For getting a ticket, but also just go and enjoy it. You know, have an assessment. What is it you want to do? Do you want to go and complete it, or do you want to go and compete at it? I think if you want to complete it, you know, go and nail down the station work, understand the rule book. Lots of people don't have a great first race experience because there's rules and penalties that they're not aware of, and it kind of just, you know, overlooks the whole thing. So have a good understanding of that. If you want to compete, get good at running.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've definitely heard that. I've thought about it once or twice, but I'm not the strongest of runners, but I'm good at the stations. So, and final question, what's one common mistake you see new Hyrox athletes make, and how can they fix it?
This is a very common occurrence, and sometimes I can still do it now, but you ever heard people going out too hot on a Hyrox before?
Yes, I always like to think of it as a fuel gauge. You get in the red, the rev counter gets in the red, and you can't get out of the red.
Exactly that. That's a great analogy. Well, yeah, you can't get out of the red, and it's a hard place to be. But I always say don't go out too hot, but I feel like you just need to experience what that feels like.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see myself getting carried away, being like, look, I'm first.
I've won the ski. This is it. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm winning. And then you're in the red and you're like, I can't get out of the red. My rev meter is literally making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Right, Danny, thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you online? Do you have social media? Do you have a website? Do you have anything like that?
No, thank you very much as well. I've really enjoyed it. In terms of finding me, I've got Instagram, Danny Ray Hybrid. I post sort of obviously fitness content and what I'm training and getting up to. And if you want a sort of a more sort of inside look at things, I have a YouTube account. Again, same handle, Danny Ray Hybrid. And I also post a lot on there as well.
Amazing. Well, Danny, thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the kitchen shopping. And I will speak to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Foodbar Radio.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay. On paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I wanna find happiness and I need him to be kind.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins.
That's a Geordie Shaw thing.
Has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being like making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, "How tall is your mum?" And I was like, "Oh, she's 6 feet under." Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
Follow us at What the Health Show for more with George. This is What the Health.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Now it's time for some of our fitness questions. If you want to get involved, you can DM us at What the Health Show on Instagram. Right, first one is, I've been training for a half marathon and my legs are always sore. Should I be resting more or is this normal? First of all, this is a great question because running has become such a big hot topic recently. Long and short of it is, if you're always sore, you're probably doing too much. How many kilometers are you doing a week? How many miles are you doing a week? What is your recovery window like? Are you training every day? Are you eating enough food? Because obviously you need to be eating food. And I think we as a nation or as a world do not genuinely eat enough of the right food. Or if we eat too much food, we're not fueling ourselves around our training sessions. So first of all, Compression garments are fantastic for recovery. Ice is fantastic for soreness. Heat is fantastic for growth. But you're not going to want growth if you're always sore, because you're going to need to get that balance. So I would say rest more, eat more food on your recovery days, get stronger in the gym, go and do 2-3 strength sessions a week, and that should probably be a pretty good start for you to start making some decent progress. Right, next question is, what's better for fat loss, cardio or weight training? I only have 30 minutes a day to exercise. Right, well, exercise actually makes up the smallest portion of what our TDEE is, which is our total daily energy expenditure. So our smallest portion of that is exercise, okay? So for me, scientifically backed is weight training. So they did a study. I can't recite the study off by heart, but I know the outcomes. They tested weight training, cardio, and weight training and cardio together. Three individual groups, and the group that lost the most body fat was the ones that did weight training. So, straight up, the only thing that you should be doing is a calorie deficit and weight training to help you with fat loss. 30 minutes, fantastic, that's fine. Supersets, tri-sets, you can get more than enough volume in, you can get more than enough exercise in, and it will be absolutely perfect for you. If you need any tips, send me a message. Is it okay to eat carbs at night if I'm trying to lose weight? Oh, wow. This old wives' tale of no carbs after six is still about. So carbs are our energy source, right? So if you're trying to lose weight, and when I say weight, I'm not talking fat. So if you're trying to just get the number down on the scales, my two pieces of advice would be cut out carbs, because you'll lose all your water weight. You'll have no energy. You then go into ketosis and you'll start using ketones and fats for your energy. Okay? And go in a sauna. You'll lose loads of weight. But if you're trying to lose fat, eating carbs at night is not a problem. Do not fear carbs. They are your energy source. If you are someone who does keto, remember, you're doing that for the rest of your life, because otherwise you'll end up putting a lump sum of weight back on, because when you start eating carbs again, your body absorbs more water. There's like X amount of water weight that you gain per gram of glycogen in your body and carbohydrates. So it's all very technical, all very sciencey, but long and short, the answer is it is okay to eat carbs at night if you're trying to lose weight and if you're trying to lose body fat. Lately, I've been feeling drained, even though my workouts haven't changed. Could I be overtraining? You're probably piss bored of your sessions. You probably are so nullified by doing the same session. Try and freshen it up. Your body needs to do different things. Your brain needs to do different things. You need to enjoy different things. So start with a brand new program. Look at doing in your first week three sets of eight on 5-6 exercises, or 4-6 exercises in your third and fourth week. Try and make sure the weight has gone up and you're still getting 8, 10, 12 reps. The most important thing is you're probably drained from the same session of the same sessions for week in and week out. And could you be overtraining? Potentially, because again, it goes back to the old story of, are you eating enough food? Are you eating the right food? Are you doing the right things? I don't have time to train. What do you suggest? I suggest that you get some sort of structure in your life. You run a little bit of a time audit. You look at what you do during the week. And what I would say from there is find three sessions of 30 to 60 minutes, or 3 days of 30 to 60 minutes where you can do something. Home workout, gym workout, whatever it is. If you live 10 minutes from the gym and you only have an hour, well, guess what? You've only got a 40-minute session. But that's why supersets are important, triceps are important, and all that other good stuff. Amazing listener questions this week. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you send them in. And just a little bit of a roundup and a thank you to our guests for their time. So a massive thank you to Victoria and Danny for coming in and talking to us today on What the Health. Just a little reminder, guys, that you can download the app and listen each week. You can follow us on social media. We are at What the Health on Instagram. If you want any help with your fitness and health goals, I provide a top tier coaching service, which is no BS problem solving, and I will hold your hand every step of the way. If you're interested, please reach out at gb.fitness.health. Also, the show is available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. A massive thank you from me. We'll be back again next week at 11 a.m. for a jam-packed show. I'm George. Thank you for listening. Happy hump day. Love you. Bye.
Foo Bar Radio.